Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome into 49ers Live. I'm Joe Fan. He's Ted Robinson. The 49ers were idle this week, enjoying their well-deserved bye, coming off of a win against the New York Giants. We enjoyed our bye weeks as well. Ted, I know you called a game in Corvallis. You got to enjoy some couch time yesterday watching football. Did you enjoy your week without 49ers football?
Well, I mean, not without 49ers, but yeah, it was nice to have a chance to refresh. For everybody feels that way, a chance to refresh. Yeah, if you're into the colleges, you get a chance to watch a game or your particular game. Joe was up until all hours of Saturday night watching his Washington Huskies pull off
heck of a comeback.
Miraculous comeback. When yet you look refreshed, Joe.
Oh, I feel refreshed. Yeah. I lost 10 years over the weekend. It was just great. Well rested.
And so this is a great way. Yeah, so this is cool because Seattle's coming in this week. And after it feels like, and this is why you don't complain about schedules, because generally things even out. So the 49ers have played a handful of games this year against teams coming off a bye. Well, now they're getting another game. It's happened a couple of times this year where they're playing against a team that's coming off a Monday night game.
Yeah.
So the Seahawks playing tonight at home, and we're going to – how am I going to handle not seeing Richard Sherman hold on every single play? I have never seen, since I've been here with the 49ers and Sherman's been with the Seahawks, we've never had a game that Sherman, including the championship game, where Sherman hasn't held on every single play, and you just know it's going to happen, and you have to play through it if you're the 49ers.
Not seeing number 25 for the Seahawks will be certainly a storyline going into it. But week two, 9-6, or no, not 9-6, was 9-6. finished off with the Seahawks winning. Here's just a refresher on how that game went down in Seattle. And Ted, if there's ever a game to build off of some good vibes and that win against the Giants, it's coming in to a home game against the Seahawks. Obviously, Carlos Hyde had a gigantic game in that one. But you hope that things can continue to build in the positive direction.
Well, what was really good about this game, Joe, to me, was that this proved the 49ers could compete. They competed. And had they had a little more offense, which unfortunately they had very little offense in this game against a terrific defense, admittedly, but with a little more offense, they win this game. And that was really the only unsettling part. But if you look at it overall, Joe, this is the team. The 49ers, as this rebuild begins with the Lynch-Shanahan era, this is your target. Seattle's your target. This is the team. They are the standard of this division. The Rams are making a run at catching them this year. But still, this is the team. So this Sunday is your second chance this year to measure up against them. Both teams are banged up. Both teams are going to miss a lot of guys that played here in week two, including, he might see a crucial pass that Sherman held Pierre Garçon on. It wasn't called near the end of the game that the 49ers had a great chance to take a lead. Remember, this was the first time we saw Breida really pop. He had a couple of big runs that got the 49ers here in this fourth quarter position.
Back-to-back on these plays.
Yep. And this is where we're coming down now to where, unfortunately, there's a pass and Marquise Goodwin doesn't catch.
That's this one right here.
Yeah, right. And that's, that would have been first and goal. And then if we see the next play here, this is going to be holding. Yeah, they didn't show the holding on Sherman. That wasn't called on the third down pass to Garçon, which created this field goal. And then Russell Wilson did what Russell Wilson has done all year.
This seems like a lifetime ago. I mean, it's 9-6. The 49ers had a lead in Seattle all the way back in week two. Again, Russell Wilson does Russell Wilson things. They did miss the point after attempt, so it was 12-9. The Niners weren't able to get a field goal on their final possession. It is crazy why. That seems like a lifetime ago since we traveled up to Seattle. So much has happened since, but you go back to that game, and that was after a tough game in week one against Carolina. You really felt this team was headed in the right direction going to the Pacific Northwest, games that were largely blowout margins over the last couple of years. When you go to CenturyLink Field, your defense plays well, holds the Seahawks to just one touchdown. You have a chance to win at the end of the game. You had a fourth quarter lead. Now fast forward, coming up here in week 12, you're coming off of a bye. The Seahawks have a short week. They're already banged up. Who knows what's going to happen tonight against the Atlanta Falcons. They're going to have a short week. Now's the chance.
Well, you have a couple of factors at play here, Joe, I think. First of all, we're going to see a Seattle team that's different. We're not going to see Richard Sherman. I probably guess we're not going to see Cam Chancellor. I mean, that's your Legion of Boom. Earl Thomas will be back there, and he's
Cliff Averill, done
the best.
For the year.
But right, Sherman, Chancellor, Cliff Averill, done for year. They brought Freeney in. Their offense, their run game's been the Carson, the running back that actually flashed real well in that game against the 49ers. Carson got hurt in subsequent weeks. He's down. They've had no run game. They patchworked their offensive line. They went and traded for Brown from Houston to try to give him some, you know, some passable left tackle play. And I say, if I had an MVP vote, which I don't, thankfully, but if I did, first half of the year, I think Russell Wilson, if he wasn't my MVP vote, he would have been second, because he has lifted that team single-handedly this year with no run game, with very shaky offensive line play. He still has Doug Baldwin, and he has Jimmy Graham, and he's used those two weapons beautifully. But what Wilson has done, we've all seen it way too often here. But this year, to me, the first half of the year, it seems like it's been even elevated to another level. We saw it, only the one flash in that game in week two, which was the fourth quarter winning drive. But how many weeks have we gone home and watched highlights Sunday night and seen him do it week in, week out?
Yeah, I mean, you want a shootout against Deshaun Watson and the Texans. I mean, the defense hasn't necessarily been what it has built up to be, you know, for so many seasons the last few years. You look at the defense, Bobby Wagner, defensive player of the year candidate. He's had a great season. For the 49ers, C.J. Beathard coming off his best game as a pro. The 49ers put up almost 500 yards of offense against the Giants a couple weeks ago here at Levi's Stadium. For the defense, though, it's all about quarterback pressure. They got to Russell Wilson three times in that game. Ronald Blair was huge. Here you're seeing some of the explosive plays from the offense. Let's start there then. And offensively, how do you continue to get the explosive plays that have been so few and far between against the Seahawks in recent memory?
Yeah, Joe, I think that's the second takeaway from the first game in Seattle, is that this is what the 49ers, with these couple of plays we're seeing here, this is what they hoped to get last year. Now, we understand, and again, we all get this, it was an entirely different team, but Kyle Shanahan was regarded so highly around the league for the way he schemed against Seattle last year, including a playoff game where the Falcons just torched the Seahawks defense. And so that's the hope, and I remember we talked about it, Joe, going up there in week two, was that if nothing else, you hoped that the 49ers were going to have an offensive game, which they've not had in a long time against Seattle. Well, that, as we know, didn't happen. If they'd had, again, any semblance of offense, they'd have won that game. And so that's what I think to watch for Sundays. Carlos had a couple of big runs in the game up there. There wasn't a whole lot in the pass game. Breedis sets up that last field goal with two nice runs, but it just wasn't, there was no consistency on offense. And I would love to see the 49ers personally have that. I don't know, the outcome is secondary to me against Seattle. Establish the fact that you can move the ball on them, that you can get some first downs, that you can keep the defense off the field for a little bit. And if you're ever going to do it, you have to think, again, minus the familiar faces, the longtime standouts on that defense that we won't see Sunday, you have to think this game, even with the 49ers being somewhat short-handed, we don't, as we're speaking here, I don't know if George Kittle's going to play, don't know if Trent Taylor's going to play. Assume the O-line's fine. And we don't know who's going to play quarterback, by the way. We don't know any of those things as we're speaking right now. I still have to believe this is a great opportunity for the 49ers to get some offense going against the Seahawks.
Yeah, and you hope Carlos Hyde continues to roll. He's got two straight 100-yard games against the Seahawks. This year, it's his only 100-yard game. Obviously, he had 98 yards against the Giants, but his only time crossing 100 yards this season was that game in Week 2 against the Seahawks. Defensively, a name that wasn't a part of that first matchup in Week 2, it is now all of a sudden a name to watch after getting two sacks against the Giants, is Ronald Blair, who's provided a nice little boost to the pass rush.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the first game up there, you had your top D-line on the field, where you don't have Armstead now. Don't know about Solomon Thomas. Again, as we sit here Monday, Kyle will offer,
Aaron,
I'm sure,
Lynch had a sack in that
game.
Right,
Aaron Lynch. Don't know about him. We'll get all the updates later today, I'm sure, from Kyle on that front. But I would expect, you said Blair back, and I would expect Tank Carradine to be back for this game. So that will at least give you two back. And then if Solomon Thomas is able to go, which I know was the hope going into the bye weekend, was that Solomon could be back for this game. That gives you three and gives you a chance. And again, we're talking about matchups. If you're going to put pressure in a game, we said it against Carson Palmer twice, and it came true. This is a game against this offensive line. The 49er defensive line has to feel like they can win enough battles, as you saw. And by the way, there's a guy. We talk about all the young guys. Elvis Dumervil. And, Joe, you're the data guy, so I don't know. It felt to me like Dumervil played more snaps against the Giants than he had this year. And I don't know if the data proves that me right or wrong on that. But it seems to me like Dumervil flashed more in this game. And I thought that was a nice sign. And there's a great – he just flat beats the right tackle for the Giants on the edge rush. I'd love to see Dumervil be doing that this Sunday on this same field.
Yeah, very efficient in his reps. I don't know what the exact snap count was. Ted, six games left, three at home, three on the road. Again, starting this weekend at home at Levi's Stadium against the Seattle Seahawks. What do you need to see? You got the win, so right? We have that monkey off the back. 0-16 is off the table. What do you want to see the rest of the way?
Well, the first thing is Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, let's just be blunt here. They didn't trade for Jimmy Garoppolo to have him sit. You didn't trade for Jimmy Garoppolo to put him in your china closet and protect him like this precious piece of pottery. He needs to play. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen as we're talking. That's the decision that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will make. I don't know. But, all of the speculations and rumors and stuff I've heard thrown around, to me, doesn't offset the one basic principle. You traded a valuable asset, a high second-round draft pick, for this guy. You did not do that to sit him. He's not here to be a backup quarterback. You need to know if he is indeed the guy you thought he is, or at least need to get a beginning of the understanding that this is the guy you're going to go forward with as your future QB. And by the way, it's not a knock on C.J. Beathard at all. C.J. Beathard was terrific against the Giants, and good for him. And C.J. Beathard, I would think, should have a long, successful career here. And, Joe, I would repeat this. This is the best I felt about the quarterback position for the 49ers since 2012, early 2012, with Alex Smith and a younger developing Kaepernick at the same time. To have these two guys here now at the same time to allow Kyle Shanahan and his staff to work with both of them and develop both of them, to me, that's what's been long overdue here. My only point is I don't know if it's this week or not, but eventually you got to be better than Seattle, so you might as well find out. Jimmy Garoppolo, to me, that's the first thing I want to see.
Yeah, and he's not an expensive piece of pottery that he just cleared up.
Yeah, got to play.
Not pottery. Do you have any expensive piece of pottery?
You kidding me? My wife keeps that so far away from me. That's all locked away. Some of it, have you heard of the Grand Cayman Islands, folks? I think some of it's there.
Okay,
so
nice.
That I can't touch it.
Doubling back on Elvis Dumervil, 36 snaps against the Giants, so you were right, by basically doubling his snap count from recent weeks when he was in the high teens.
Yeah.
You mentioned Beathard, and after you watch, I mean, a lot of these rookie quarterbacks who have been playing, bar Deshaun Watson, who was on another planet as a rookie, where does C.J. Beathard stack up? Because you watched Nathan Peterman yesterday, you watched Deshaun Kizer in his up-and-down season. I think 49ers fans, like you said, should feel really good about what they have in C.J. Beathard, whether he's the starter, whether he's the backup. You know how much security you have as a team when you know you've got a reliable backup.
Yeah.
49ers got a couple of really good options.
Hey, by the way, how good does Arizona feel about having Blaine as the third quarterback? I mean, Blaine stood up real well yesterday. They didn't win the game, but Blaine stood up well, I'm saying, and he's their third guy. So, it's okay to have two quarterbacks. It's been too long here in this organization since the 49ers have had a second quarterback that they felt confident and capable of going out to play. And if C.J. Beathard is indeed that guy, I hope that's the case for the next 10 years.
A couple of things to tie up before we get out of here. Pro Bowl voting is open. Make sure to go online at NFL.com or 49ers.com. You can also slide into the NFL's DMs this year. That's a first. And check out who you want to go. Buckner and Hyde, I think, are probably the two best candidates. 49ers didn't have a Pro Bowler a year ago. I think those guys are both worthy and deserving with six games left.
Well, Buckner for sure. I would offer up an interesting guy on the offensive side, Trent Brown. Trent Brown has been pretty darn good, and his grades have been all very strong. And, that tackle position that's so important. And unfortunately, the other guy that is now not going to factor in, but he was absolutely playing at a Pro Bowl level to me, was Jaquaski Tartt. And that would have been the guy that I think to me would have been right there alongside Buckner if Kwaski were healthy.
And punters are people too. Bradley Pinion has had a very nice season. I think last year and the year before, some ups and downs. Yeah. I think he's been much more consistent this year. So
Johnny Hecker has that thing locked up for the next from the NFC side.
I'm an optimist, Ted.
Hecker. I know. No, I'm saying Bradley's been way better this year. No question. I'm saying Hecker is the standard bearer right now. So is it still? By the way, is the Pro Bowl still NFC AFC or are they drafting teams?
Now? I think I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly.
They
shows you how
the rules every year. All I know is in Orlando, and you should go vote. We also have a question from Steve, who wants to know about what's the giveaway this weekend. There's a giveaway every single week. We've been hearing about it all year long, and we have, in my opinion, it's a fact. This is the best giveaway coming up, and we actually have a scene from the 49ers cafeteria to help preview what's coming your way at Levi's Stadium on Sunday.
With a Have some Sloppy Joes! I made them extra sloppy for you! I know how you boys like them. Sloppy!
Staley, you're scaring us.
You're dead.
That's
if
a
you
different...
thought the Yowie was good, and Ted loved the Yowie. Here's
I need
QVC model. Here we go. Come on.
All right. Now this, this is cool for Joe, because that truly was a different definition of sloppy Joe, one that we just saw Joe on the in the kitchen with. Yeah, this is all right. We've seen Joe, and 49er fans may know of the old pasta bowl that we used to have here that benefited the 49er Foundation every year, and the players would come out and serve. Patrons, those who were contributing to help the 49er Foundation mission, and they'd all wear these aprons. So Joe rocked this thing.
I think you have a future on QVC. That you look fantastic.
Ooh, yeah.
You can take that home and serve Thanksgiving dinner in that, and I think you'd be the hit of the party.
Yeah.
So everyone gets these in when
that's
they walk in the door at Levi's Stadium. This is a one of a kind. You got Joe's signature there. This is amazing. I don't have much to add other than it's the best giveaway of all time. And I don't think there's much to say.
I'm not even going to call him Sloppy Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, a nice little Billy Madison remake right there.
Yeah.
A classic scene. Ted, Thanksgiving plans, what you got?
Thanksgiving plans are family crashes down upon us because for us, in our little world, this is a huge week. Every odd number of years, Thanksgiving weekend, Notre Dame at Stanford. Terrific game this year. Stanford, of course, this game doesn't impact them, but Stanford has a good shot to be playing here on December 1st against USC. But if they beat Notre Dame, they really secure themselves in a terrific New Year's Day bowl game, whichever one that ends up being. And by the way, you have the Heisman Trophy kind of battles. You have Bryce Love, who in my view, after Baker Mayfield's performances Saturday, the world does not need another Johnny Manziel. And that's where Mayfield has to be careful. But Bryce Love, to me, is a front runner. And Josh Adams, running back for Notre Dame, has had huge numbers, killed USC this year. So you're going to have two guys going head-to-head there that are for Heisman front runners. So that's Saturday, and that's just the table setter, Joe.
Oh, man.
That's the table setter for what's a huge day in the fan world when the Seahawks play here on Sunday.
Yeah, I've got my family. Yeah. My parents are coming down from Seattle. They have already promised, this is on the record, they're wearing Niners gear to the game on Sunday.
Wow.
Oh, it's a slow process. You got to trust the process, as they say, but my parents will not be wearing Seahawks garb. They'll be wearing 49ers gear as I continue to mold them to the right side of that rivalry. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's going to be a really fun weekend. Ted, what's going to be better, the Thanksgiving dinner at your house or the tailgate at Stanford Stadium?
Oh, no, God, no. Well, you have to understand that a dear friend of mine is our local medicine man, Dan Gordon, and Dan has concocted his own special medicines for years in concoction with San Jose. No, I mean, everybody understands Gordon, and Dan is the brewer of Gordon Biersch.
Yeah, got
and
it.
And so Dan is going to medicate a large group of people Saturday prior to the Notre Dame-Stanford game, and it's all done in medical reasons. It's absolutely, it's phenomenal. And so that is, that's clearly a highlight. And I just wish we could get Dan here on Sunday. But listen, I got to tell you something, Joe. You grew up and your family, and this is awesome because I think what you're doing with your family to transform them Sunday is admirable. Because I'm pretty sure it was my first year with the 49ers in this job, and I'm walking from the hotel in downtown to the stadium for the game. And I walk down along the waterfront, so I walk by the ferry terminal. And, of course, so many people in Seattle and take the ferries to come into downtown. And here come Seahawk fans, and they're all rocking their jerseys. And this was before Pete Carroll, before Sherman, so I don't even remember what jerseys they were wearing. And here comes somebody wearing a Seahawks number 80 with Rice on the back. And it was wrong. It violated 700 rules of human decency. A Seahawks number 80 with Jerry Rice? No, no, no. And so that memory has lingered with me, and it's made it much more difficult the last few years, because we've had trouble, the 49ers, as we know, have had trouble playing in Seattle and trouble getting anything going there. But that memory just – so, Steve Largent jerseys, great. Wear those till the sun sets. Kenny Easley jerseys, that's great. Not a Jerry Rice. That's a 49er.
I got nothing. That was a great little tirade. We just covered – you covered a lot.
Soapbox.
Yeah. All right. Go find Ted. He's going to be well-medicated. Mm-hmm. At the Stanford tailgate on Saturday. I might stop by as well. We appreciate you guys joining us. Have such a happy Thanksgiving from our 49ers family to yours. We hope you enjoy the holidays here. For Ted Robinson, I'm Joe Fan. Enjoy your week, and we'll see you Sunday right here at Levi's Stadium. Mm-hmm.